Anyone who doesn't realize that opera is for everybody needs to get the message. And David Grabarkowitz, the artistic and general director of El Paso Opera, is just the man to get the point across. Welcome, David. Good to see you.
Thank you, Monica. It's great to be here.
Well, you have things kicking off right around the corner. September the 7th is your first big event for this, your 19th, well, the 19th season of the El Paso Opera.
Yes, and at the cusp of 20.
The cusp of 20. Yeah. And you've been here since 2009.
Correct.
And you just went full time here. Is that correct?
That is correct. Right. I gave up my position at Lincoln Center this year. In fact, the New York City Opera moved out of Lincoln Center and is now housing itself in a different facility. So for me, I am enjoying being here full time and even the hottest days of the summer. I'm glad to be here.
I don't know that I could agree with you with that, but I'm glad you feel that way.
Remember, I was born in Minnesota.
Right? Okay,
yes, right,
okay,
exactly.
All right.
I'm happy for the warm.
It can be a good thing. Well, let's start with the first big event you have for the season, and that is Friday, September 7th, 7 p.m. at the Abraham Chavez Theater.
Yes, when I first came to El Paso, I borrowed an idea from the New York City Opera, whereby we would hold a Pops concert with some big-name singers, and every seat in the house was just $25. So we're coming back to that this year with a grant from a group called the Texas Women for the Arts. Now,
oh, wonderful.
We are able to offer adults at $25, and for every adult ticket purchased, a child may attend for free.
Oh, wow. And children, what age are appropriate?
16 and younger. And I would say at age 6, I think that they would start to enjoy the event.
Okay.
Any younger than that, and still opera seems to be a bit noisy. But really, that concert's for all ages. It really wants to be one for the opera lover who wants to hear some great music.
Yes.
We'll have three stars from the Metropolitan Opera attending, Vanessa Caridi, who also stars later this season in The Barber of Seville, Lauren Flanagan, who is becoming an El Paso Opera favorite from the New York City Opera, and the Richard Tucker winner for this year, Nicholas Pallison, who has just made his Metropolitan Opera debut.
Oh, exciting.
Oh, it's thrilling.
To get young talent and enjoy them when they're still on the rise is just fabulous.
And he's amazing. And he'll be actually back starring as the barber in The Barber of Seville.
Oh, wonderful.
So singing the famous Figaro, Figaro, Figaro aria.
Oh, yes.
But, and he'll do that here as well. And that's the style of the evening.
So
to give people a little bit of everything.
You're just continuing to parlay your professional relationships into a treasure chest for El Paso. I love what you've done. So this entire evening will be aria favorites from various operas?
Aria favorites, and then with the Opera UTEP chorus, we'll be doing some grand Verdi choruses this time. So what we're actually doing, besides some selections from The Barber of Seville and Die Fledermaus, which are the two pieces on our season, we're also creating a Puccini segment with arias from everything from Gianni Schicchi to Bohème to famous Nessun Dorma from Turandot.
Exactly. Absolute favorite.
Right.
Now, will this be costumed or not?
No, this is a gala concert.
Okay.
So the orchestra will be on the stage, but we'll do projections with each one. And then the maestro, we've just named a new music director, Carl Shamanowitz. So Maestro Shamanowitz and director Grabarkowitz will be putting on the
wits. You have enough syllables between the two of you?
Exactly.
on the wits. Oh, that's too clever.
We will be bantering about each show. And in the meantime, talking to the kids and to the adults about how much fun opera is.
A full opera is like a meal, a whole presentation. But what I love about this kind of an evening is it's just like your favorite parts. It's just the filet, so to speak.
Right.
And then it's easier to present, I suspect, than the whole costumed and produced opera thing.
But
and
that's the idea behind Opera for All. Like, everybody can come to this. You don't have to be worried about ticket price because we can afford to do this and pass along that fact to having children there for free.
That just absolutely gets the message across.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Fabulous. Okay, well, I'll reiterate the date and time and place for that one. Tell me about your actual performance season. Which operas have you elected to perform?
Our two main stage operas this year are Die Fledermaus and The Barber of Seville, both comedies, both with very, very different social mores and tastes, though. Die Fledermaus is an operetta, one of Johann Strauss's, absolutely his most famous work, but in the style of of our past seasons, The Desert Song, which was performed outside in the desert, and La Vida Boheme, which was performed in restaurants and lounges throughout the city, mm-hmm. we're actually performing Die Fledermaus in a ballroom, because Act Two happens in a ballroom.
Lovely.
And not only we will do the stories, we'll have a stage, and that will be costumed.
Now, where?
The Summit Ballroom, and that is attached to a Greek Orthodox church on Festival, just north of Mason.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
It's a grand, wonderful space. And here's the thing about Strauss. He wrote the waltz.
Mm-hmm.
He's the waltz king. So in the middle of the piece, one of the performers says, on with a dance, mm-hmm. on with a dance.
Sing
let us
to
all
love.
Begin to dance.
Yeah. I remember that one.
Right. And the chorus will step off of the stage, and the audience will have been served. We're serving complimentary champagne and coffee and dessert. And the chorus will move to the tables, and then the audience will begin to dance.
Oh.
And we will then do a string of three or four Strauss waltzes so that the audience, it turns into a dance for everyone.
Oh, and this will be in October.
Yes.
And the Summit Ballroom, for anyone who visits the Greek festival every year, I believe
that's the same
location. So October for Die Fledermaus, and then The Barber of Seville.
Right. The Barber of Seville comes up in March, and that is our big blockbuster of the year. We'll have a new production created for Vanessa Caridi and for Nicholas Pallison by a wonderful designer, Russell Parkman from SMU. And we'll have two performances at the Chavez Theater, March 14 and 16, and we're just thrilled about it. I love The Barber of Seville. It's a compliment work to The Marriage of Figaro, which, of course, was written years earlier, but The Barber of Seville is actually the first installment of the trilogy of plays that Beaumarchais wrote, and then Rossini turned this one into an opera. This has the famous Largo Factotum della Città, Figaro, 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 aria.
Yes. No mistake.
No mistake in that one.
Yes.
Probably the most famous aria in operadom.
If it made the Disney cartoons when I was a kid, it was big time.
I could show The Rabbit of Seville, which is the one that you're talking about, I would be so happy. That's when Elmer Fudd stalks bugs throughout a live performance of The Barber of Seville.
Okay, that's it. Got to rent it. Tell me, what neurons are firing? What connections are you making in your head between the operas that you select for performance and life as we know it today?
You know, I hearken back to the Great Depression when you mentioned something like that, when movies became so popular as entertainment and all of these happy, happy, toe-tapping movies were created. You know, we're in a time that's really economically difficult, and it's been going on longer than any of us could have imagined. The opera feels the heat of that all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, so choosing works like Barber and Die Fledermaus, which couldn't be more different, but are both uplifting, joyous pieces with some of the most extraordinary music in the world is exactly what we're shooting for with this season.
Yeah, there has to be that deep connection to what do people need when you're making these choices. They're important choices.
Yes.
Very important choices.
You know, you
choices.
Respond to the community.
Absolutely. Now, there's another event in the interim between Die Fledermaus and The Barber of Seville, and that is The Birth of Opera, which will take place December 1st and 2nd at the El Paso Museum of Art. Tell me about that event.
Yes, it's a wonderful collaboration that Mr. Michael Tomor from the El Paso Museum of Art created. Actually, about 18 months ago, I said he applied for the an NEA grant to create some works in response to the Golden Age Masters exhibit, which opens in September of this year and runs through January.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a collaboration with the El Paso Pro Musica responding and El Paso Opera responding. And our work with one of America's greatest tenors, Jeffrey Lentz, is actually a visual and audio response to it. We'll actually be exploring something as esoteric as why it is that as society, we have decided to tell stories with music. And that's the idea, is to respond to the paintings by talking about why opera was created in the first place.
I love the synchronicity, pairing up various art disciplines in one space.
Yes.
Oh, what a rich and varied menu you have for us. My guest today is David Grabarkiewicz. He's the artistic and general director of El Paso Opera. He's been telling us about the opera's 19th season, which is just incredible, starting with Opera for All. That will be Friday, September 7th at 7 p.m. at the Abraham Chavez Theater. Tickets $25 for adults, and with each adult ticket, a child between the ages of 6 and 16 is admitted for free. Die Fledermaus and The Barber of Seville will take place in October and March, respectively, with The Birth of Opera in between at the El Paso Museum of Art in December, all worth watching out for and attending. The El Paso Opera can be reached at 581-5534 or visit epopera.org. David, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Monica, thanks a million for having me.